Okay, Be'ezer Hashem, tonight I'd like to do a topic which is central to Avodas Hayom. It's a beautiful coincidence that no such thing as a coincidence that the parsha that falls before Rosh Hashanah is the parsha of Tshuva. And I'd like to do as what the Ramchal describes, discussing the Dvarim Pshutim, because the Dvarim Pshutim are the things that require most chizuk. And even some of the beautiful yesodos that exist in Lamdos and Ilchos Tshuva have become famous from Rav Soloveitchik, and some of the ideas that we'll build on are ideas that the Rav develops, and hopefully see how these components are important in our own Avodas Hayom. In Parshas Nitzavim, we have the famous expression, Ki ha-mitzvah zos asher anochi mitzavcha hayom lo nifleisim imcha v'lo rechokahi. In Perek Lamed, Pasuk Yud Aleph. And there is a big discussion, what is this mitzvah zos? What is this mitzvah? Rashi, the Rambam, and the Igeres HaTeiman also assumes that it's referring to Torah. Ki mitzvah zos is referring to Torah. However, the Ramban, in a very important Ramban, says that Ki mitzvah zos doesn't only refer to Torah. He says, if you take a look in the Ramban, I'm looking at a slightly different defus than I'm used to. It's in the Ramban on Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ramban says, that's above. Okay. V'tam ki mitzvah azos, akol haTorah kula. Ki mitzvah azos refers to kol haTorah kula. However, continues the Ramban, when the Torah continues on, and when it says the expression of kol haMitzvah, that refers to the mitzvah of kol haTorah kula, and then he says, aval haMitzvah hazos, but this particular mitzvah, ala tshuva nizkeres, that's in reference to tshuva. So the Ramban claims that this week's parasha is a biblical imperative towards the mitzvah of tshuva. The Ramban continues, and then he says, and when the pasuk goes on and says that the process of mitzvah zos lo nifleisim chad lo rechokai, where is it? It's in your mouth and in your heart. Continues the Ramban, and he says, Beficha refers to vidui. So according to the Ramban, this passage includes the mitzvah of tshuva, as well as the mitzvah of vidui. The Rambam, we mentioned, doesn't understand this parsha is referring to tshuva at all. He understands that it refers to Torah. That would mean that Torah is very close, that anybody who just puts his mouth and his heart to it, so that individual will be zocha to be successful. Why the mouth before the heart? It's a little bit backwards. It's a feeling that we'll come back to later on. Is the Ramban, even according to the Ramban, beficha uvelvavcha, which refers to tshuva, first you do the vidui and then the change takes place on the lathe. Generally, we would say that the approach should be first to make a commitment in your heart, and then to do the process of vidui. Yet, according to the Ramban, it's the opposite. It's beficha, and then it's vilvavicha. Many achronim have been bothered that the Rambam, aside from not understanding this parsha as referring to tshuva, the Rambam doesn't have a mitzvah of tshuva altogether. The Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, when he describes tshuva, doesn't describe tshuva as a mitzvah. In fact, the Rambam describes vidui as being the mitzvah. So wait a second. What happened to the mitzvah of tshuva itself? Does the mitzvah of tshuva exist at all? The Rambam's lashon is, kol mitzvah shebetor bein asei bein lo sasei, im avar adam alachas man, bein bizadon bein mishkaga, kishiyase tshuva v'yoshim mechoto chayiv lehisvados lifnei hakel baruchu, Shinemar Isha Ushaki Yasu Visvadu Eschatasam, that pasuk is talking about Karbonos. V'duizeh mitzvah saseh. So Rambam seems to omit tshuva as being a mitzvah at all. And that would be, if you will, the Rambam l'shitaso, not understanding ki ha-mitzvah azos as referring to tshuva. The Minchas Chinuch, who's become everybody's punching bag when it comes to the mitzvah of tshuva, the Minchas Chinuch and Reish Samach Dalet, this is one of the cases where the Rav argued vehemently with the Minchas Chinuch. In the Tshuva Drashos, the Rav took issue with the Minchas Chinuch's description of equating the mitzvah of tshuva with gerushin. That Minchas Chinuch says, well, just like if a person wants to get divorced, there's a mitzvah of get, so too, if a person wants to do tshuva, so then there's a mitzvah of vidui, that's how you do it. But the Rambam doesn't hold that there's any inherent mitzvah in the tshuva process. That's how the Minchas Chinuch understood the Rambam. And the truth is, if you look in the Yad, it does seem to be as the Minchas Chinuch presents it. Rabbi Ganak told us, I don't think Rabbi Ganak told us what the sugya was, that the Rav loved Minchas Chinuch, the tradition. They say that Rav Chaim had two svarim on his desk. Legend has it that there were two achronim that Rav Chaim used. And Kulei Alma or Moda, everybody agrees that Minchas Chinuch was one achron that Rav Chaim looked at. And everybody says it was their grandfather that was the other achron that he looked at. But Minchas Chinuch, everybody agrees. And in fact, we have a theory that Reb Chaim Halevi's Chidushim, many of them in the Sefer, what it's called in the yeshivas, Reb Chaim and Sefer, that many, quite a few of them are ideas of the Minchas Chinuch that were rehashed and reworked, obviously in the unique way of Reb Chaim. But Rabbi Ganak told us that there was one time that the Rav muttered, and he said, Fort bleibt a Galitzianer. He remains a Galitzianer. As he doesn't think entirely like the Lifter Shalani. So I'm wondering if it's this Minchas Chinuch in which he uttered the comment. The other time that Rabbi Gnack said something striking in terms of, if you will, a beautiful Torah put down was one time we were doing, this is apropos for those who were learning Yaradeya. The Gaonis of the Shach is so overwhelming. So overwhelming, the Gaonis of the Shach. So I remember one time Rabbi Ganak was reading a shach. The shach was taking apart all the arguments of the Taz, and he stopped and he said, "Sometimes I feel bad for the Taz." But these are two, if you will, put downs. They're actually compliments that stick in my mind. By the way, the Minchas Chinuch suggests that this is a mitzvah that's akin, the mitzvah of vidui is akin to the mitzvah of gerushin. I saw Rav Asher Weiss joins Rav Soloveitchik's objection, and he added something that the Rav didn't point out. That if you take a look in the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam's Lashon in Mitzvah Reish Chof Beis says, Kishin Isratze Ligarish. When he discusses the mitzvah of getting divorced, when a person wants, then they get divorced. However, in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam, in the mitzvah of Tshuva, in Mitzvah Ayin Gimel, the Rambam's lashon is Shetzivonu leizvados al havonos v'chatoyim shechotanu lefnei hakel v'lomar osam imachuva. So the Rambam's whole formulation is not kishin isratze, or when it comes about that one has to do tshuva. The Rambam says there's a tzivui for vidui, yet the Rambam's lashon is striking. He says that there's a tzivui of vidui, which is said with tshuva. But clearly, the Rambam never meant to equate it to gerushin as the Minchas Chinuch presents it. Yoser mizeh. The Rambam actually quotes this week's parasha in the context of tshuva. What's often missed is that the Rambam in Perek Zayin, in Hilchos Tshuva, Halacha Vav, says that the pasuk of v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha is a havtacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives. In other words, there's already a biblical source of tshuva which becomes part of the mitzvah's tshuva according to Rambam. However, it's not a tzivui, but the Rambam says HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that one day we're going to do tshuva. So to view the Rambam's position as tshuva being some type of heichi timtza to vidui is an entirely incorrect perspective. So then what is the Rambam's perspective? Why did the Rambam only emphasize Vidui? That's Tzarachiyun number one. Number two, another Tzarachiyun in the Lashon HaRambam is, why did the Rambam say in the Sefer HaMitzvos that we quoted that you have a tzivui to do Vidui when you're going through the process of tshuva? Why did the Rambam put the emphasis of the tzivui on the Vidui? So those are two tzarachiyuns that we need to address in the Rambam. So there is a mahalach, which is a very popular mahalach amongst Chassidus, amongst the writers of Chassidus, but I found that also Litvish Gedolim also say this idea, the Meshech Chochmah has this idea as well. Yismach Moshe suggests that the reason why tshuva is not counted as a separate mitzvah, consistent with the whole idea that many great Hasidic masters write about, you can't take this idea and put it in the wrong hands. However, they spoke about the idea that 613 mitzvos are 613 etin. Etin is Aramaic for etzah. 613 etzahs of Iskarvas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. 613 ways that we attain dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, if that's how we look at every mitzvah, and if a person violates a mitzvah, or doesn't fulfill a mitzvah, I say properly, so then he has created a distance with him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we're going to define tshuva as being a singular mitzvah, then it's undermining the essence of the whole notion of mitzvahs creating hiskarvus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because at the end of the day, tshuva is not one mitzvah. It's about 613 mitzvahs. It's about 613 ways of relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have a very, very complex relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we have a complex relationship with our parents, Kal v'chomer, we have a complex relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there are 613 components to it. Rav Tversky went even further. Rav Tversky said that the 70 taimim, al pi kabbalah, of mitzvahs all represent different components of the different way we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like if you ask someone why he chose his wife, and he'd be able to, why he's in love with his wife, if he'd be able to summarize it in one sentence, he'd be able to give one time, then there's something wrong with the relationship. There are 70 taimim within every mitzvah. There's a complex web of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to put tshuva as being into only one, as being one mitzvah, is undermining the significance of what tshuva is. So this is the approach that the Yismach Moshe presents. The Rav had another mahalach. And the Rav pointed out that the style of the Yad HaChazaka is that the Rambam uses the Pirkei HaMitzvot, or what some refer to as the Koteret, the titles of the mitzvah, to amplify a different component of the mitzvah. For example, when it comes to tefillah, the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah speaks about the act of tefillah. He never speaks about tefillah as being avodah shebelev. If you look in the Koteret in Hilchos Tefillah, there the Rambam alludes to the idea that tefillah is an avodah shebelev. Similarly, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam is alluding to the fact that there are two components in avodah tshuva. Let's listen to his lashon in the Koteret, a very, very simple line. Mitzvah saseh achas, v'hu sheyoshev hachotei mecheta lefnei Hashem v'yisvade. Here, the Rambam speaks about the essence of tshuva. And Vidui comes along at the end. Why? Because when it comes to mitzvahs, if you will, there's the gufa mitzvah, there's the pu'ula, and then there's the neshama, there's the soul that's behind the mitzvah. So that's why the Rambam doesn't emphasize tshuva, because ultimately the chalos, the kiyum, takes place in the changed individual. The pu'ula is the vidui. If that's so, maybe we could go back also to our deep. Maybe we could add one tiny thing to the great Torah of Rav Soloveitchik. You can just add that it's also meduik in the Rambam's Lashon, the Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam says, "Shetzivonu lehisvados al havonos." There's a tzivoy on havonos. Velomar, to say vidui, velomar osamei matshuva. And you say the vidui with tshuva. The Rambam is driving at the following idea. I can't promise that this is what the Rav meant. I wasn't even zochet to see the Rav. But I presume that what the Rav is driving at is the following philosophical issue. And that is, to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Hargoshos is very, very difficult. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands pu'ulos that are supposed to affect the hargashas. So the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos is absolute meduyak. The tzivui is on the vidui. For the vidui to be appropriate, it has to come along with tshuva. Yes, one of the most important things that we have to do in our cheshbon ha-nefesh, heading towards slichos, is whether our mitzvos are mitzvos that are just pu'ulos, or whether we've captured the neshama of our mitzvos. Have we captured the neshama of our relationship bein adam l'makom and bein adam l'chaveh? Is our chesed a chesed that's one of pu'ula, or is the chesed also have a neshama that's behind it as well? So this is the first step. When we look at the relationship between vidui and tshuva, the reason why the Rambam is emphasizing the vidui is because the vidui is a din in the pu'ula. Now, Rabosai, I would like to now take this idea and try to examine it and extend it in the following way. The Rambam continues in Hilchos Tshuva, and many times when we learn the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, we focus on Perek Aleph and Perek Beis. However, Perek Zayin is a striking Perek in Hilchos Tshuva, and there the Rambam has a very important line. Perek Zayin Halacha Gimel. Al tomar she'ein tshuva ela me'avero she'esh ben maisa. Don't think that tshuva is only on things that are averos b'poel. Kigon, znus, v'gezel, gneva. For example, these terrible averos. Ela, kishem she'tzarech adam loshem me'elu, kachu le'tzarech l'chafes b'deos, ro'os she'esh lo v'loshem min ha'kas, min ha'eva, min ha'kina. A person has to search deep inside and see whether his, maybe the way to translate it in English would be, his cognitive processing, the way he thinks and he approaches things, is the appropriate way, whether it's Deos Tovos or Chas V'Chalila Deos Ros. That's what the Rambam describes in Perek Zayin Halacha Gimel. Now it's interesting that the Rambam over here makes no mention of Vidui. No mention of Vidui over here. Why does the Rambam in Perek Zayin omit vidui when he's talking about doing tshuva on midos rows? I would like to now add a few more tzarachimans, then develop a yisod. I know we haven't answered the first tzarachim of why we have the ficha before the vavcha. We'll come back to that. And then see what this yisod teaches us in our avodah. So number one, Sarachiyah number one in Perek Zayin is, why does the Rambam say that when it comes to tshuva on Deos Ros, there he mentions no vidui, and again, to emphasize that in Perek Aleph, vidui is so important, we have to be miyashiv, why the Rambam didn't put in tshuva at all. But in Perek Zayin, there's no mention of vidui, there's only a mention of tshuva. Another Sarachiyah. Why is it that when it comes to the Shita of Rebbe, this is not my kasha, Tosfos Yishanim in Yuma, and Daf Pehei Amabez, asks the following kasha. Shita of Rebbe is that Yom HaKippurim is along the Chapa. So ask Tosfos a very basic question. Is that true? How is the Beis HaMikdash ever destroyed? It was a culmination of sins that took place over many years. If the Yitzumah Shem Yom HaKippurim is Mechaper, we don't paskin like Rebbe. Fine. But according to Shitas Rebbe, Tosfos Yishanim Pehei on the base asks, how is the base of Megiddish destroyed? Tzarachiyah number three. The Gemara in Kedushin on Mentes on the base, famous Gemara, says that if a man is Mekadosh a woman, Amenasha Nitzadok Amur, the halach is that the Kedushin is a valid Kedushin. According to the Rambam that said, why? Because maybe he was Mahara B'tshuva. So first of all, that's a tremendous transmissible. Anybody can become a tzaddik gomer in a moment. If he has a true hero tshuva, what a mechayev. No matter how far we've fallen, we can still become a tzaddik gomer. But according to the Rambam, that says that vidui is an integral component to tshuva. It's not called tshuva yet until you do vidui. We have to explain why. That's what the Rambam says. So then in such a case, how could it be that the fellow is a tzaddik gomer? He hasn't even done tshuva yet. Tzarchi number three. Tzarchi number four is back to the basics. And that is in Shemona Esrei we have two brachos, Hashiveinu Avinu and Slach Lanu. What's really the difference between Baruch Chanan Amar B'Lesloach and the bracha of Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarasecha, Harotza B'Shuva? What exactly is the difference between the two? Why do they need to be two distinct brachos? Join them together if they're slightly two different themes. Put them together as one bracha. So Mitzvah Asher, why is there two separate brachos? Of anything you want me to repeat? Good. Why do we have two separate brachos? So what are our four questions? Number one, why is the Rambam Misvi doing Perek Zayin? Number two, why is it that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed according to Shitas Rebbe Yitzuma Shel Yom HaZmechaper? According to Rambam, the Vidui is so important. The moment the person says Al Menashe Ani Tzadik Gamur could serve as a valid Kedusha. What happened to Vidui? And what is the need for two brachos? So maybe Rabbi Osai, we need to take a step back and say that even according to the Rambam, there is a tremendous value of tshuva outside of vidui, and it gets to the essence of two different components of tshuva and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reaction to it. One of them is kapara, and the other is tahara. Rav Asher Weiss argues, sometimes I suspect that when Rav Asher Weiss goes to visit Tinek, people tell him over some of the Torah of Soloveitchik, because there's so much in the Minchas Asher that's reminiscent. So he takes this idea, the Rav also spoke about this idea, about the component of Kapara and Slicha, and Minchas Asher suggests the following Yishuv to all these Pashas based on the idea. And that is that the Rambam, when he talks about purifying one's machshavos, that already is a madrega of tahara. Especially there was a tradition in the Rav spoke about this tradition that during Aseres Yimei Tshuva, to start from the first day of Rosh Hashanah, which al pi Kabbalah is this man of tremendous pachad and yira, first day you learn Perek Aleph, second day Perek Beis, culminating with Yom HaKippurim. Perek Zayin is a little bit on in the avodah of tshuva. When a person is at the madrega where he's working on his machshavos, that's already the process of tahara. Now it's possible for a person to attain the madrega of tahara without vidui. Kapara is associated with vidui. So when it comes to Perek Zayin, the Rambam doesn't mention vidui, because there the Rambam is talking about someone who already reached the madrega of kapara, and he's on this pure madrega where he's being metaher his machshavos. Even his machshavos are fine. And the Gemara in Kedusha Memfes Amud Beis is mechadesh that it's possible for a person in one split moment with absolute sincerity to reach the madrega of tahara. Am nasha ni tzadik omer, even if he doesn't do vidu, it's possible to attain that madrega of tahara. And vice versa. Even if Yitzumo Shel Yom HaKippurim is Mechaper, but Yitzumo Shel Yom HaKippurim, even according to Rebbe, who says that it could be Mechaper, but it could only be Mechaper, it can create the Madrega of Tahara. And what destroyed the Beis HaMikdash? Not that there were Averas on the books. Along with every Avera comes along Tumah. Tumah is what destroyed the Mikdash. The Tumah wasn't removed with the Yitzumo Shel Yom. The Tumah existed, and hence the Mikdash was destroyed. That's true. Now we know what the two brachos are about. Slach Lanu Avinu is referring to Averos that are related to Kapara. However, when we talk about Hashiveinu Avinu, that full tshuva is the tshuva that relates to Tahara. Okay, so let's summarize what we've done up until now. We've had two parts. Number one, the first part we did was we examined why the Rambam makes vidui so central. Not to de-emphasize tshuva itself, but rather to show that vidui is the pu'ula and there's a neshama that's behind it. part two of what we did is we saw that there are times that vidui is actually not necessary even according to the Rambam, and that's associated with the process of Tahara. And the process of Tahara is lefnei Hashem titaru, in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, the relationship that's not only one that's no longer severed, but a sense of iskarvus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that answered all the tzarafims that we had before. Part three, Bezer Hashem, what I'd like to go to is examine nuances in vidui itself. We discussed this in Madrega, Kapar, and Tahara. Now let's take a look at some nuances in the vidui itself. Let's examine the Rambam in Perek Aleph and the Rambam in Perek Beis. Yes, Dan?
Are we going to define the difference between, meaning, what does it mean that basically they should destroy the Mishnah itself? Are you saying that?
We're just saying that. But what it means is the following. What it means is that there are two things that take place. Someone violates an Aveira, and obviously this is, I feel uncomfortable in oversimplifying in such a way, but to put it in concrete terms, someone is over Aveira, they get an X. Mm-hmm. That X is held against them. They get three X's, then they have to do something for homework. Okay? Even when the X's are removed, that doesn't mean that their entire status has changed.
Right.
That's what Tumah is. Tumah is distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know that in the concept of Tumas Meis and so on. So the Lufnei Hashem Titaru is the Madrega where there's absolute discardless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Are we possibly saying that if Itzim Rishayom was not Mechaber, the Beis HaMikdash would have been destroyed earlier, something along those lines?
Possibly. I mean, Tosis's Lashon is that's not Kapara Gemura. According to, in our terminology, we're introducing possibly, but that's beyond my theological capabilities. That's beyond. What I do know is that the categories are clear, and what I do sense in my chush, you know, my existential sense, if you will, is that there is a notion of Kedusha and Tahara that's outside of Mitzvos Maisius and outside of Mitzvos Averos, and even if a person rectifies it, His status could still be affected. We all know that in our own interactions with people and so on. Even when we truly say I'm sorry about something, but if there are times if we're not really a changed person, so then that relationship has been hurt. That's the if you will, one perspective of the idea of Tumah. Okay. The Rambam in Perek Aleph, in Halach Aleph, when he describes Vidu, he describes Vidu in the following way. Vidu is a mitzvah saseh, keitzan mitzvatin, omer ono Hashem chatos yavisi pashat yifonecha, fasisi kach vekach, veri nichamti uboshti b'maasai, ulo olam ani chozer l'dovrezeh, eini chozer l'dovrezeh, v'zeh likara shel Vidu. How does this compare, Rabbosai, to Halach Aches, in Perek Beis Halach Aches? Havidui shenagu bo kol Yisrael, aval anachnu chatanu, v'hu ikra vidui. What's the difference? In Perek Aleph, the Rambam says that a person has to be mefaret every avera. A person has to spell out every avera that he's done. It's not even enough on Yom HaKippurim for us just to say the achdeis. We should really spell out verbally. That's what Vidu is all about. It's beficha, is spelled verbally, every single one of the averas that we could recall. It could take a while. I'm going to argue in a moment that it could be that one Vidu is supposed to take a while and one Vidu could be is supposed to be short. But that could take a while. You have to be in a fire to faith. That's what the Rambam describes in Perek Aleph. However, the Rambam in Perek Beis, there the Rambam doesn't speak about being mefarit the chait. What's vidui? Aval anachnu chatanu. Ganse vidui. That's the whole thing. Aval anachnu chatanu zui ikar avidui. At least it's the ikar vidui. So which, what's vidui? Is it being mefarit the chait or not? So one could suggest that the difference between Perek Aleph and Perek Beis is that Perek Aleph is talking about the yachid and Perek Beis is talking about the tzibur. If you take a look prior to that, the Rambam speaks about in Halacha Zayin Yom HaKippurim who's man tshuva lekol liyachidu lerabim. So one could argue, and also the expression avol anachnu chatanu, and that it was a minog in Kol Yisrael. So it could be that Perek Beis is talking about the vidui of the tzibur versus the vidui of the yachid. I think the Minchas Asher makes this suggestion. That's what's going on in these two Rambams. Brings to mind a beautiful idea, as the Rav pointed out, that the minhag is, I think it's one of the most beautiful, and actually, it's beautiful and haunting. Nigunim on Yom HaKippurim, actually I miss it. Where I daven in the old city, they don't sing this tune. You know, every once in a while you get, there's a beautiful tune, and when the shul doesn't sing that tune, you really, really, really miss it. You know what I'm talking about? So in Yeshiva Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, the way they introduce the vidui is Anu Amecha. It's an absolutely beautiful, beautiful tune. So why do we sing it? And it's almost, there's a certain confidence to it. And the words itself is the words itself also connected to vidui. Anu Amecha Vata Elokeinu. It's not talking about avera and sin. And the answer is that when it comes to vidui of the tzibur, there's a certain confidence that we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anu Amecha Vata Elokeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you chose us. Anu Amecha. And the Rav pointed out that the Tzibur HaKadosh Baruch Hu never entirely views through the perspective of Shmama, absolutely desolate. What's the bracha of Yom HaKippurim? The Kedushas HaYom, Melech Mocha Avonoseinu V'Avonos Kol Amo Beis Yisrael U'Mavir Ashmoseinu B'Chol Shana V'Shana. So first of all, there are two components of Kapara, Avonoseinu, our Averos, V'Avonos Kol Amo Beis Yisrael, and the Averos of all of Klal Yisrael. Two components to the tshuva. However, when we say U'mavir Ashmoseinu, we don't say V'ashamos Kol Beis Yisrael. So there, the vidui is one of confidence, is one of almost joy. Almost one of joy. That's why we sing Anu Amecha V'ata Elokeinu. It could very well be that in that vidui, a person's not even supposed to be in a Faret Techet. That vidui could go quicker. It's the vidui of the Tzibur. Can't be mefarid someone else's. You can't have Kabbalah alav, Charot alav, or Kabbalah alasid on someone else's averos. So there, that's a quicker vidui. The vidui in the silent Shemona Esrei, that's the vidui of the yachid. So if that would be so that would explain why the Rambam makes no mention of being mefarid techeit, because on the yachid there's a chiyuv to be mefarid techeit, but not on the tzibur. That's one mahalach. Rabbi Yoshe Ber himself suggested a different mahalach in the Rambam. He pointed out that the Rambam starts off in Perek Beis Halacha Zayin, Yom HaKippurim Huzman Shuvah. So again, we're bothered by, why does the Rambam mention two different types of viduim? The first answer we gave is that one's talking about the vidui of the tzibur, the other's talking about the vidui of the yachid. The Rav suggested that this is a special halacha in Yom HaKippurim. This was the minhag of Vidu and Yom HaKippurim. Not to differentiate between the Yachin and the Tzibur. But Rambam in Perek Aleph is talking about Stam Tshuva. Rambam in Perek Beis is talking about the Tshuva of the Tzibur. I'd like to tell you a pshat that I heard. I think I heard this in the name. It's a little bit awkward for me to say this in the room where he's Marvitz Torah. But I think I heard this in the name of Rav Lichtenstein. That a fascinating idea in the Rambam. Could be, one could argue whether the mahalach is so mukhruf, but I think in terms of musr and to get a lesson towards avodas hayom, there's something extremely powerful about this, and that is that the Rambam in Perek Beis, when he emphasizes the ikar vidui, the Rambam is describing a vidui which is deeper than the vidui in Perek Aleph. In Perek Aleph, we're focusing on our mitzvahs ma'asiyos. We're focusing on what we did wrong. In Perek Beis, the Rambam describes the Ikra Vidui, anachnu chatanu. We're not talking about our guf and the ma'asiyos of our guf. We're talking about the essence of ourselves. This yisod is an extremely, extremely important yisod. I see this all the time with Bachurim who want our Shoef to grow. They begin to take seriously a Cheshbon HaNefesh. they tend to focus on their actions. The actions that were violations of lavim, they didn't do mitzvah saseh, actions that were inappropriate. The essence of tshuva, even though there's a chiyuv to be mefarik the meisim, the essence of it, the ikar of vidui, is to get to the shorish. Is to get to the shorish of who we are. And that's what the Rambam is describing in Perek Beis. And the system that we were developing, it now comes out beautifully. In Perek Aleph, we start the most basic. And that is the first step, is a person has to be makir his meisim. I need to be misake in my actions. But that's not really the way in which you're actually fix it, by simply labeling them and say, I have to fix it. What's the shorash of it? What personality trait generates this aveira? What's the makar? What's the shorash? That's Perek Beis. That's the vidu of Perek Beis. When a person reaches that madrega of kapara, if he does the vidu of Perek Av, he does the vidu of Perek Beis, so then he's ready for next madrega of tahara. The madrega of tahara, where he not only works on the shorashim of averos, but he mamish works on his koach hachashiva, his way of thinking, his what we call his cognitive processing. And that is tahara. That's lifnei Hashem. Where mamish his koach hachashiva is controlled to the point that even the way he thinks is absolutely pure, that's the madrega of tahara. So there's a process over here of kapara, and that is reflected by the different types of vidui and possibly the absence of vidui as well. If you think about this, I think this also applies to the avoda of the kol shofar as well. The avoda of Yom Noraim is going back to the basics. The kol shofar is the primal cry. The Gra points out that at the end of all of the bakashos in Shemona Esrei, we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shema Koleinu. Why don't we say Shema Tefila Seinu? It culminates all the brachas. So I think last year we gave a whole shiur about the significance of Shema Koleinu. But in one sentence, the Gra says the following. He says the end of bakashos is the realization that after all of the articulation in Tefila, we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't express exactly how I'm feeling. But at least, hear my call. I'm crying out. That's what the kol shofar is. It gets back to the basics, to the core of the neshama. And what creates that call? Not dibur. Dibur is not good. You know why? Because dibur is full of rationalizations. The moment we begin to speak, we begin to rationalize. The culmination of tefillah is koleinu. We attempt through tefillah, through dibur, but often fails. The kol shofar, that's the essence of avoda, and what precipitates it, what creates it, the neshama, the koach haneshama, the koach haneshima. We go back to the mekor haneshama. I would like to add that we see that there are so many times that the koach of af, the koach of the nose, is so important. Just in terms of chush, anybody who's ever had a powerful association with smell. The power of smell is one of the most important kochos. The Mishnah in Yevamos says that if you want to identify a person, the end of Maseches Yevamos, if you want to identify a person for iguna, Rameis Baila, the Mishnah in Yevamos says the most critical component is a person's nose. So this idea of the Jewish nose already goes back to the time of the mission. That's how you identify a person. What's behind it? Because the nose represents the koach haneshima. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. That's a chelek elokam imam. On Rosh Hashanah, we throw in that koach haneshima, not to create dibur, but to create kol. To get back to the most basic b'china of the neshama. So that's really our avoda. That's really our avoda in Yom Noraim, is to really think about going back to the basics in avodas Hashem. Let me start first on the easiest level. It's always easy for Yeshiva Bachim to talk to each other about learning. That's easy. To talk about Shalom Bayis, that's hard. To talk about Benam L'Chavera, that's hard. To talk in learning, that's let's start on the fun stuff. So in terms of learning, Rabbi Osai, we have to think about learning in both a practical way and also learning in a basic way. It could be, particularly from my background, that I feel that there's something that was very much lacking, but I suspect in many. I was looking around in the Beis Medrash this week, and I was thinking about it here in Gruss. How much time are we spending learning Mishnayos and Nach? How much Mishnayos and Nach do we really know? And I'm included. I'm also terrible in that regard. It took me years and years and years to wake up and realize, I have to say, that I used to blame it on the yeshivas that I had learned before I came to yeshivas or any other time. And then I made a chesed by nefesh and said, what about all the years that I was in the YU Beis Medrash? Yeah, I did take some great Bible courses in YC, but what happened when I was in Smicha? Klum, nothing. So maybe somebody, some chassid, is going to convince me that you're not supposed to learn Tanakh. You're not supposed to learn Tanakh. Fine. What about Mishnayos? Not fine, but Neimiyah. And what about Mishnayos? What about our ideas of Mishnayos? Absolutely inexcusable. I'm going through Maseches Taharas for the first time in my life. I learned Mikvos B'Yin. I learned Nidah B'Yin. But I never learned the rest of the Taharas. So I hope you don't make the same mistake that I did. So we have to go back to the basics. Basics in reading Gemara. Before we jump to Alumbus, and all my Talmidim know, that's my bread and butter too. That's what I live on. But we have to make sure that we have the basics down pat. We have to make sure. We have to be mechazik ourselves. There's no reason why there shouldn't be a Seder here in the Kollel where guys take 20 minutes out learning a Parak of Mishnayos and a Parak of Mevim and Sudim. There has to be some basics. Now, in terms of that learning and that basics, there's something that's very, very important that emerges from the order of Beficha Uvavav Chalasasa. And first I'd like to continue talking about in terms of learning, according to those we've shown and they understand Kim Mitzvah Azos is talking about Torah, and then we'll finish off in the process of Tshuva. Says the Baal HaTurim, what's Beficha? Baal HaTurim says, that's learning Torah. And then he says, Uvolvavcha, a famous line, Igra d'shmaitza svara. The reward from learning the sugya is a svara. So now we feel comfortable. Now, Igra d'shmaitza svara, now we're in a domain that we feel comfortable in. Igra d'shmaitza svara. But Rabosai, in order to reach that madrega, true havana and iyun, it has to be that the sugyas have to be clear, bilvavcha. Excuse me, beficha. It has to first be beficha. If it's not beficha, then it won't be truly bilvavcha. Which means, instead of jumping to conceptual possibilities, that there are six conceptual possibilities in the sugya, and beginning to theorize, is the shakla v'tari of the Gemara clear? Is the kasha of the Ramban clear? Is the teretz of the Ramban clear? Is the nafkamina clear? The words, just the words, pasha basic words. Says the Baal HaTurim, it's true. Igra the shmaitza svara, the reward for the sugya is the svara, is the havana, for sure. But it has to be in that order. It has to be first beficha v'lofcha. And if you can't say over the Shakavataria of the Gemara with its nuances, with the Rashi, with the Tosas, and you're already jumping to conceptual possibilities, kol omeg lazar, kizarek dummy. Oh, what does kizarek mean? I remember that this Rosh Yeshiva said in his shir this thing and this. The Shakavataria are both sides. First step is to have it beficha. Have it beficha clear. That's something that's very important. If we're talking about honestly, nam naran, getting back to the basics doesn't chas v'chalila mean undermining lumbus. Doesn't mean that at all. But it means to truly appreciate lumbus. That's what they say that Reb Chaim said, that you have to be able, before you say a chiddush, you have to know shas. Is that relevant for us? Probably. I hope not. But but the message is very, very clear. The message is that we have to go back to the request. And again, I'm speaking to myself as much as I'm speaking to you. In terms of the order, we asked, according to the Ramban, Vidui still comes first. Even the Ramban, who learns that Vidui and Shuvah are mitzvah, not like the Rambam who said that only Vidui is the mitzvah, even the Ramban who emphasizes Ki Amitzah Azos is referring to Shuvah, yet Vidui comes Beficha Uvelvavcha. First, there's Vidui, and then there's the actual Shuvah. According to the Ramban, certainly according to the Rambam, what emerges is it's not enough to have these many beautiful thoughts and emotions. It has to be put into dibur, it has to be put into poem. So on the first, most basic level, I'm still forever indebted to Rabbi Braunschweigel. My first year as a freshman in YU, Rabbi Braunschweigel suggested before Yom Narayim to sit down with a pen and paper and make a list. I remember he even described to us, and Ada Yom Hazeh I do it. It's actually a very rewarding feeling. I have about at least 10 years worth of pieces of paper that from every Yom Noraim, and that I look at every Rosh Chodesh. Try to look at every Rosh Chodesh, except if I don't want to look at myself, so then I push it off for a few days. But in general, I try to look at it every Rosh Chodesh. And he told us to take a piece of paper, draw a line through the middle, and on one side write Ben Adam LaMakom, and the other side write Ben Adam LaChavera. And write a few things down. It has to be bepol. It's not just the hargoshas. The hargoshas towards Slicha and Kapara have to be put really, really bepol. If a person doesn't put it bepol, then it often remains a hargosha. That's extremely, extremely important, that if it's not beficha, then it won't say bevavcha. It has to be something that a person really, really begins to think about putting bepol. Even putting on a piece of paper is not entirely bepol. But now you at least you've got a record. But the vidui has to be real. And the way the vidui is real is if you begin to back it up with other things bepol. And now I get to the most uncomfortable part, the hardest part in our avodah. And that is the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro and the Shalom Bais. You know, they say, I think there's a magazine, something like Weekly Bride or Monthly Bride. It's a bridal magazine. The magazine did a study, and they say that on average, a bride prepares between 150 and 200 hours for her wedding. She plans her wedding night between 150 and 200 hours for wedding. And they say, and the husband spends 150 and 200 hours saying, yeah, it sounds good, yeah, it sounds good. The lesson of vidui is that when we talk, we really are saying something that has profound, profound significance, and that could truly transform who we are. And when there's someone we love that speaks, then that has to have profound, profound significance. So there are times when it comes to wedding planning, maybe sometimes it's just best, maybe 120 of those hours, it's just best to say, yeah, it sounds good. That's fine, let your wife decide it. Let your wife and your bride decide everything. But the key to vidui is for us to really hear what we're saying. And the key, the most important part in Shalom Bayis is for us to really, really hear when our wife is speaking. I remember in graduate school, we had, remember our professor made such a big deal. I'm surprised we didn't do it in undergrad in YU, but in Columbia they did this in the master's program. And it was the first time I ever saw therapy. First, the professor made a very big deal. I want you to watch Carl Rogers in therapy. So I went to the library and put the video cassette in. And Carl Rogers was sitting with a client. And the client came in and said, I had a tough day today. And Rogers said back, it sounds like that you're upset today. He said, yeah, my boss screamed at me. Rogers said, you have a difficult boss. He says, yeah, when I was writing my paper, my brief, the boss came in and changed the whole plans on me. It sounds like you have a volatile boss. And it turns out that Carl Rogers, for 1 hour, and this is called Rogerian psychology, he sat and he repeated everything the client said. And that is one of the highest madrigas in therapy today. You know why, Rav Osai? Because no one is listening to someone else. Yeah, we listen to a shir, that's fine. The ideas, that's fine. But when someone's really, really talking about how they feel, how many people really, really, really listen? So just some basic nekudos in terms of as far as listening is concerned. The truth is, a husband that just simply listens to his wife, that truly, truly listens to his wife, has got 70-80% of the battle down. That he's truly listening, he's not doing something else. And I could tell you, it's really hard. You know, my wife says, so often she talks to me and I look down in the sefer, I look down in the newspaper. It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. But if there's someone who's been speaking to us for so long, so often, and we know that there aren't going to be big kiddushim, it's just going to be what happened today, which was the same thing that we had heard yesterday. Rabosai, to listen is so, so, so important. Also, just a very basic piece of advice. What does she talk about first? What she talks about first, the odds are, is something that's really, really important to her. So even if very quickly the conversation drifts to something else, or she gets distracted, the phone rings, that's something that's really something that's prominent on her mind. And then we begin to explore, we begin to listen, not to do only what Carl Rogers does, but also to explore and to be able to see if we could help. When one's wife has a real powerful emotion, don't jump. Ask questions. Ask questions that you're really interested about and to help her sort out her feelings. Leave judgments by the door. Leave the judgments out from the first conversation. When she's ready to ask for advice, she'll ask for advice. Let her talk out her feelings. Don't jump and judge. You could intuitively feel that there's a right way to go about this and there's a wrong way to go about it. But the first few steps are to let her talk and ask questions. Encourage her herself to probe the idea. And often, by your questions, you'll lead her to the direction, not as a prosecutor leading a witness, but just someone who's helping, one friend helping the next. So often, that could be so, so helpful in terms of her coming to an understanding that you yourself could have preached to her a lot earlier. Don't jump. Give her a little bit of time. Think about all the time she gives you. She deserves a little bit of that time. And finally, let's borrow something out of Carl Rogers' book. There's a time, actually, that Rogerian therapy or Rogerian communication is actually very, very helpful. That is when we're going through a tough time. We're going through a tough time, not because we're having a disagreement, but we have a real, real difficult life decision ahead of us. Do I switch for afternoon seder to go to a school to teach? Should you, my dear wife, go out to work? Should we be staying in the same apartment or should we move? There are lots of thoughts and there are lots of emotions. And sometimes it's not enough just to say don't jump and don't judge, because it's going to be so hard to hold yourself back. So here's the following answer. Not to use this every day, not to do it even necessarily every week, but every once in a while, I would suggest to go into a mode called just listening time. What's just listening time? For 10 minutes, tell you, don't play a game with her, but tell your wife straight up that this is what you're doing. That for 10 minutes, all you're going to do is going to listen to her and say over how she's feeling. And you'll be amazed. And even in ourselves, sometimes it's extremely, extremely helpful to have someone else who's just going to listen to how we feel. Kal v'chomer, a woman who we've spoken about in the past, that women come from a totally different planet than men do. And just to give her 10 minutes where she expresses her feelings and her thoughts, and you show her that you've listened. The next night, that took place Sunday night, Monday night, it's your turn. Monday night, you say over your ideas, your thoughts, and she repeats them. And now, you can have a sense of confidence that both the husband and the wife know how each other feel. But until then, it could very well be that one's wife hasn't felt that she was really heard, that she was really understood. So the avoda of tshuva, this avoda of tshuva, which is the bechina of vidui according to the Rambam, has profound, profound lessons also in Beinot and Lechavero. And that is that on the one hand, the tshuva process starts getting back to the basics, getting back to the neshama. But if it's not done bepoel, so then in such a case it doesn't last. Dibur is one of the most important kochos that we could have in bringing something bepoel. But to be able to bring something bepoel through dibur, the only way it could happen is if we're listening to our wives and we're also listening to ourselves.